This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, January 10th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. Going to go right to the Superdome, where number one LSU played number two Alabama in that much-anticipated BCS National Championship game, which, of course, turned out not really to be a game at all, as Alabama dominated both sides of the ball. Give Nick Saban credit. His offense came out throwing. A.J. McCarron threw on first down all day, really shook up LSU, and it was never a game, as Alabama went ahead 3-0, 6-0, 9-0 on field goals, moved the ball, couldn't put it in the end zone, 12-0, 15-0. LSU could get nothing going offensively, and then eventually Trent Richardson with a 34-yard touchdown run, really the icing on the cake. You know, if you thought LSU had a chance, and if you watched them move the ball, they really didn't. But even at 15-0, you could think, oh, maybe two touchdowns, somebody breaks a punt return, whatever. But LSU, overwhelmed from start to finish, really looked dejected on the bench as early as right before the half. Never could get any offense going. Alabama 21, they missed the extra point on the Richardson touchdown. LSU nothing. And again, there's still going to be lots of debate today. We'll go into this game a little bit, but arguably the bigger news than the national championship game is the fact that the BCS officials are meeting today to look at all angles of the BCS championship series and the way it's run. People do not expect there to be a four-team or eight-team playoff, but people do expect that there might be one of these plus-one games, which means you would have all of these bowl games, but really the main bowl games of the top four teams. And then at the end of those bowl games, for example, if they had a plus-one this week, then next week they would say either an Alabama-LSU rematch, unlikely, or an Alabama-Oklahoma State game, which would be interesting. But I think that almost overshadows, look, Alabama, and I don't think anyone can say they're not the best team in the country. They did lose to LSU at Alabama. When the final AP poll came out, Alabama had 54 first-place votes. They were ranked number one. LSU was ranked number two, and Oklahoma State was ranked number three. LSU still got one vote for best team in the country, and that had to be almost a protest vote, because this was not a close game. Alabama dominated on both sides of the ball. Oklahoma State got four first-place votes. And again, it's interesting. People seem to forget the context. The anti-Oklahoma State guy, and I don't think they would have beaten Alabama or LSU, but I do think they deserve to be in the game. Understand how Alabama got into the game. They got into the game because Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State a few days after that Oklahoma State plane crash, where the women's basketball coach and his top assistant died. And clearly Oklahoma State was not at their best that day. Iowa State winds up losing to Rutgers in the Penn State Bowl, in the Pinstripe Bowl, I'm sorry. But people are saying, oh, look at Oklahoma State. They lost to Iowa State. Iowa State's terrible. They lost to Rutgers in the Pinstripe Bowl. But that so totally misses the point. So Alabama, very fortunate, you could even say lucky, to be in the championship game. Don't win their conference, don't play in the SEC championship game, lose to LSU at home. And I think because Oklahoma State loses to Iowa State, that's the only way they get into the championship game, but then they dominate LSU. So give Alabama credit for being prepared, for having a better game plan, for executing. I mean, really, it was very interesting. LSU really did seem to not have any understanding of what to do. In fact, in the second half, most of the talk on the TV show was whether LSU should bring in Jarrett Lee for Jordan Jefferson, because Jefferson couldn't get anything going. I mean, he couldn't run the option for whatever reason. He was 11 for 17, but only 53 yards, including one interception. They had no offense. I mean, it was unbelievable. Total yards for LSU. Total yards in the game, 92. Five first downs, two turnovers. Again, never was really a competitive game. The LSU defense played well early, holding Alabama to field goals. But Jeremy Shelley kicked five field goals, missed one, had one blocked. Hit the upright on the extra point, you know, meaningless at the time, 21-0 late in the game. But he was a key. But it was really, I thought, Alabama's defense and Alabama's willingness to throw the ball on first down. Now, this A.J. McCarron really grew up yesterday. They had a really good game plan, but he had to execute it. 23 for 34, 234 yards, no touchdowns, but no turnovers. And he's only a sophomore. So Nick Saban, forward-looking, will reload. That was his third BCS national championship. He's the first with three in the BCS era. Of course, Bear Bryant has six national championships. He's the number one guy. You got to think Saban's going to get some more in Alabama. Won the first one at LSU, you'll recall, and won the last two at Alabama. So, again, really not a competitive game. Superdome, 82 miles from LSU or 80 miles, whatever it is, in New Orleans, but it didn't matter. Alabama 21, LSU nothing. But I think the debate is still going to go on. How did they get there? Should they have been there? But they certainly yesterday were by far the better team. And I'll say it again, this example to me cries out for an A-team. I mean, I think an A-team playoff would be best. 16, not manageable. You take a 4. The plus one game, I don't know, because suppose, again, Alabama had to go play next week. Are you not going to have a plus one game if the two best teams play? Are you going to have a rematch the next week? So I think at a minimum, and this would have been a good year to have it, because then Oklahoma State would have been in there. I think you could have had a four-team playoff. LSU 1, Alabama 2, Oklahoma State 3. I would put Oregon 4, Stanford was ranked 4 at the end of the year. Let one play 4, 2 play 3, and the winners play. It's really not a difficult thing. All the other football divisions do it. I think every sport in the NCAA does it. They have some kind of playoff at the end of the year. Can't be of the magnitude of the March Madness basketball tournament. But it can be a simple 2 or 3 week, 4-team, 8-team deal. And again, you might have to cut one game out of your regular season. So what? But Alabama finishes 12-1, ranked first in the AP poll, BCS national champions. LSU finishes 13-1. Obviously, they beat Alabama. Alabama beat them. Alabama beat them much more soundly, of course. Oklahoma State, ranked number 3, 12-1. Their only loss to Iowa State. They got 4 first-place votes. Oregon finishes 4th, 12-2. And Arkansas finishes 5th, 11-2. So the SEC with 3 of the top 5 teams in the country. And I totally agree. You know, there are some comments from Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy who said, you know, oh, I'd like to know if any of these teams could stop us, and I'd like to find out. We'll never know. And I agree with all of that. Now, I don't think Oklahoma State was going to beat Alabama or LSU. I do think they deserve the chance, though. But, of course, that didn't happen. Again, if you had a 4-team playoff, that would have happened one way or the other. They would have played one or both. You know, be careful what you wish for. But I think the bigger story almost, because there's going to still be a lot of griping, even though Alabama totally outplayed LSU, I think the biggest story is that the powers that be at the BCS are going to meet today. Presumably they're all down in New Orleans. And they're going to meet today, and according to the head of the BCS, they're going to consider all possibilities. Again, whatever that means. But you wish they would have a 4-team or an 8-team tournament. You know they must be getting incredible grief for them to even announce that they're having this meeting and they're at least considering a plus-one game. But I think then the political decision is going to be, do you need a plus-one game? Right now, do you need a plus-one game? Should Alabama and LSU line up next week if there was a plus-one game? Should Alabama play Oklahoma State now in a plus one game? Do you give Oklahoma State a pass because of the plane crash? They lost to a bad team, a 500 team in Iowa State. So there's lots and lots of questions. Now, I'll say it again. If this had been a close game yesterday, it would be hard to say Alabama was a national champion if they won 9-6, say. This makes it a little clearer, but, you know, the complaint is going to be how did they get, why did they get, should they get the opportunity to play a rematch in the championship game. And I still think, as we talked about yesterday, LSU and Alabama are the two best teams in the country, but I don't know if that was right the way this all went down. But Nick Saban, one of the great college coaches of all time, leads Alabama to their second national championship under him. Back in 2009, he won. Won his first with LSU back in 2003. So you got to give them all the credit in the world. McCarron was excellent, 23 of 34 for 234 yards. Trent Richardson had a couple of big runs, a 20-yarder that set up a field goal, the 34-yard touchdown that really, you know, was ended the game. 20 rushes for 96 yards and a touchdown. And Alabama, their statistical numbers for the year are some of the scariest in the history of college football, allowing 8.2 points per game, allowing 72 yards rushing per game, allowing 111 yards passing per game for a total of 183 yards per game they allowed. And yesterday they allowed half of that, 92 yards. I mean, that's the scariest stat of all. Now, they asked Les Miles after the game, how come he didn't go to Jarrett Lee, or did he consider it? And he said, yes, they considered it. He even saw him late in the third quarter throwing on the sidelines. I think there was one, maybe 5 minutes or 6 minutes left in the third quarter. He had his helmet on. It looked like he was getting ready to run to the field, but then Jefferson went out there. But Les Miles said that they considered using Jarrett Lee, but they needed a guy who could avoid the pass rush because Alabama was bringing such incredible pressure, and they didn't think Jarrett Lee could get out of the way. And on the one hand, that's probably true. On the other hand, Jordan Jefferson gave them nothing yesterday. Nothing running, nothing passing, nothing. So I don't think it would have made a difference. They probably could have gone to Jarrett Lee. They also put up the stats, I think in the third or fourth quarter, that Jarrett Lee in his career against Alabama has one touchdown and seven interceptions. So you could argue that would be another reason not to put him in. But I'll say it again. I mean, they could have played another four quarters and LSU wasn't going to score on offense. You know, I thought you were hoping that LSU, from an LSU perspective, was going to make a defensive play for a touchdown or block a punt or run one back. It wasn't coming on offense. I think they crossed into Alabama territory only once, and that was late in the game. Across the 50 once, the whole game. And even then, after I think Jefferson ran to like, I want to say like the 35 or 38, then they got pushed back immediately. And they had 4th and 18 and went for it, and Jefferson got the ball knocked out of his hand. So a dominating performance to Alabama. Congratulate them. Are they the national champions? Are they the best team? I think based on that performance, you have to say yes. You can debate all day whether they should have had that chance or not, an interesting question. But hopefully the BCS meetings today will try and at least attempt to solve these kinds of problems. And again, these kinds of problems, if they had, you know, it's interesting because if there was a 14 playoff, Alabama would have been in for sure. Nobody would have said a word. Nobody would have complained. They absolutely deserve to be in the top four. But when you limit it to one game, a BCS game against a team that lost at home to LSU, against a team that didn't win its conference championship, well, those are interesting questions. So hopefully the BCS, the powers that be that meet today, will make a decision that will at least make it fair for at least four teams. I'd like to see eight, but for at least four teams to have an opportunity to win or lose the national championship on the field. and you don't have to worry about should we be in this game, should we be in that game. The 4-5 argument is a lot better than the 2-3 argument as to who should get in. But Jeremy Shelley kicks five field goals. Trent Richardson runs for a 34-yard touchdown. The Alabama defense mauls LSU. Alabama 21, LSU nothing, your BCS national champions. This is Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Off the Bench with Josh Scarr and Scotty Bickford, Mondays at 4 p.m. on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 120,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy and major car companies filing for bankruptcy, Cover America Auto Care has announced revolutionary, inexpensive mechanical breakdown coverage that is now available to the general public to save consumers thousands on auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for drivers to call who own a vehicle that is less than 10 years old for a free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number is 800-219-6876. Drivers who are covered with this auto protection will not have to pay for a covered repair again. This is the auto coverage now sweeping across America at a fraction of what dealerships charge and is now available to the public by calling today. The number to call is 800-219-6876. 800-219-6876. That's 800-219-6876.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right?
Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Get your NFL news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up.
do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
NHL Weekly, Monday nights at 6 p.m., only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Want to switch briefly to Major League Baseball Hall of Fame voting yesterday. One guy got in, Barry Larkin. Borderline Hall of Famer in my mind, but hey, he gets in with 86.4% of the vote, so you have to give him a lot of credit. 12-time All-Star, MVP of the league, 295 lifetime hitter, 379 stolen bases, the most for a shortstop in the history of baseball, who's in the Hall of Fame. So you do have to give him a lot of credit. Larkin, a class guy, a class act, overwhelmed by the whole thing. But there's a lot going on here on the Hall of Fame. You know, they have a list in the New York Daily News, I'm sure lots of other players, of the Hall of Fame voting percentages of all time, and you just have to shake your head sometimes at what you see, and you have to think some of it is personal. A guy like Ty Cobb, for example, a hated player, got 222 out of 226 votes in 1936. That's the first year they voted for the Hall of Fame. So you wanted to interview the four guys who didn't vote for him, for example. A guy like Ted Williams, 282 out of 302. 20 guys didn't vote for Ted Williams as a Hall of Famer. Again, you know, to me anyway, just stunning stuff. My personal favorite, Joe DiMaggio, didn't make the Hall of Fame until his third attempt. I mean, what am I missing? Or Babe Ruth, you know. A few guys didn't vote for Babe Ruth. How could you not vote for Babe Ruth for the Hall of Fame? But in any event, I think there's an article there somewhere. But in any event, Barry Larkin does make the Hall of Fame. Again, a 295 lifetime hitter, did hit 353. Lifetime in the World Series, his one appearance when the Reds won in 1990, but always was, you know, very, very good overall in the postseason. So a good guy, a 12-time All-Star. Again, if it was up to me, you'd have one guy in the Hall of Fame every year, no more. And then the Hall of Fame opened in 39. The first votes were taken in 36. Just started at 36. You know, today you'd have 65 players in the Hall of Fame. You'd never hear, should he be in the Hall of Fame? You'd never hear, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. There'd never be a discussion. The discussion would be the guys who are out who aren't in. Instead, now you have, you know, a lot of guys who are in who aren't out, who should be out. But that's just the way it is. But Barry Larkin goes in next summer with Ron Santo. Ron Santo picked by, I heard the new name for it. It's not the Veterans Committee. It's like the Golden Era Committee or something, whatever it is. And Ron Santo also, you know, an excellent player. Should he have been a Hall of Fame? The sad thing to me is I thought he was a borderline Hall of Famer as well. The sad thing is he passed away without getting in, and was beloved Cubs, an excellent third baseman, an excellent player, an excellent hitter, but didn't live to see himself get in the Hall of Fame. So that, I think, is very sad. If you're going to vote the guy in, you can debate whether he should be in or not, but if you're going to vote the guy in, then to me you really should have voted him in while he's alive. I mean, again, I think that's very disappointing. So Larkin's in, Santo's in, and you've probably seen the list already, but next year is going to be the fascinating year for the Hall of Fame. And obviously we have a lot of time to discuss that, but Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Craig Biggio, Mike Piazza, Sammy Sosa, Curt Schilling, all up next year. Now, a lot of people already think that Jack Morris, who got 66% of the vote, will be a Hall of Famer next year. But with this class, I don't know. You have to think Bonds and Clemens and Sosa for sure are not going to get in. And I think there'll be a real debate on Bonds and Clemens, but I don't think now, in their first year, they're going to be able to overcome that stigma. I'll just throw this out there. If Barry Bonds had never taken a steroid and retired in 1998, he's probably a Hall of Famer. But that's for another day. Barry Larkin in, Ron Santo in, Jack Morris just misses. Bagwell was next with 56% of the vote. Lee Smith, you know, the reliever is a whole other thing. I never got the sense to me that Lee Smith could reach the level of a Mariano Rivera or Eckersley. You know, the problem with an Eckersley is, of course, he was a starter as well. But Bruce Sutter, Goose Gossage now finally. I don't think Lee Smith was those guys. But he's a guy at 50%. He'll keep getting support. You know, again, over the years, usually those numbers go up. That's what Jack Morris is hoping for next year. But that's a weird year next year. I don't think Bonds or Clemens will get in first time. I don't think Sosa will ever get in. Again, the test for me is, were these guys Hall of Famers before they took steroids? If you know the history of Bonds, you know he had won three MVP awards before he took steroids. And if you're going to question when he started taking steroids, just read Game of Shadows. Because he was jealous of McGuire and Sosa in 98. He knew he was a better ball player than they were. He knew he was a better hitter than both of them, and he was. But we'll save that for another time. I think you can make a strong case for Barry Bonds as a Hall of Famer. Because, again, he won three MVPs in the early 90s. And everybody in the history of the sport who won three MVP awards is in the Hall of Fame. But we'll save that for another day. Congratulations to Barry Larkin. Congratulations to Ron Santo. Again, very sad they waited till now to put him in. But that's the way it goes. Email from Dana Shoulders in Mansfield, Ohio. It's a fairly long one. We'll take them one at a time. A belated Happy New Year to you and the staff at STN. I'll keep it brief as I have a load of comments, questions for you, but know you run a tight show. Number one. The BCS is without question a joke. Witnessed the game last night, boring from top to bottom, and I'm sorry, one of those teams had no business being in the championship, no business in caps. Well, I don't disagree with any of that. The BCS is a joke. I've written a couple of articles in the last 10 years where you say just take out the C in BCS and you get the point. Whether the game's boring or not, yeah. You know, when two defensive teams, especially in the modern era, there aren't a lot of defensive teams. When two defensive teams hook up like that, as was the first game, it can be boring. But if you like defense, that was for you. And I don't disagree with the notion that Alabama had no business being in the championship game, even if they were the best team, even if they hammered LSU last night. How did they get there? Again, a whole lot of stuff had to happen for them to get there, including, I hate to say it this way, an Oklahoma State women's basketball team plane crashing with the coach and an assistant on it. And that's how they got in. Hard to believe Oklahoma State would have lost to Iowa State but for that plane crash. So I totally agree with Dana on this first one. Number two, Tebow mania is running wild, and I want to say this. I find it appalling that people feel a need to bring in Tebow's faith when discussing his ability as an NFL quarterback. That said, Tebow wears it on his sleeve and opens himself up to it from the media. I am impressed with the young man as he is of high quality and character. We'll see what kind of quarterback he will ultimately become. I also agree, I find it appalling that people feel a need to bring in Tebow's faith when discussing his ability as an NFL quarterback. You know, I even heard in New York Sports Talk earlier this week how, you know, almost mocking Tebow that he has that special relationship with God, ha ha ha. Look, you believe what you believe. And whatever you believe about Tim Tebow, know this, he's a winner. I mean, again, that was no shock. He was a big winner in Florida. He was 2-1 as a starter before this year. He came in and had an unbelievable run. Now, yes, it's true. It's true that Denver played great defense. But Tebow won that game more than anybody the other day against the Steelers. Give him credit. Great offensive game plan, but he threw the passes. So I think Tebow will be a quarterback in this league. He's got to be the most popular guy in Denver. He could probably be the mayor of Denver next time there's an election there. Will he become a great NFL quarterback? It's a tough question. Is his throwing improving? Absolutely. But does it have to improve a lot? Absolutely. I don't think you should really judge a guy on what his religious beliefs are or how openly, you know, he talks about them. Does he wear them on his sleeve? Absolutely. But I agree. You shouldn't bring up his faith when you're discussing his ability as an NFL quarterback. But again, there are guys like this who come along once in a while who just are winners. Not pretty, but they're winners. And now they pose a real problem, I think, offensively, if this guy can throw the ball down the field like he did. And remember, he did it without Eric Decker, his favorite receiver. But this Demaryius Thomas, only a second-year player. Tim Tebow, only a second-year player. And Denver has a good defense. So you have to give them a lot of credit for what they've done. Nobody gave them a chance against Pittsburgh. I thought they'd be lucky to score more than 7 or 10 points, as we discussed. Well, they scored 29 on long pass plays. And I think the stat was the Steelers gave up 4 of the 6 longest pass plays that they gave up all year this past Sunday to Tim Tebow. I mean, that's stunning stuff. And we'll get into it later in the week, but the problem for Denver this week is even if they can move the ball against the Patriots' defense, and they should be able to, how is Denver going to stop Tom Brady? They're going to have to come up with a new game plan because they couldn't stop him in Denver a few weeks ago. I mean, it seems in pro football the offenses are ahead of the defenses. Green Bay does not have a good defense. New England does not have a good defense. You know, do you like the Ravens to go all the way? A lot of people like New Orleans to beat Green Bay if it gets to that game because New Orleans has a decent defense. But it's an offensive league. Someone's determined that, and I think this is true, that the audience likes scoring. And as Dana Shoulders said about the Alabama LSU games, not very exciting. 9-6, 21-0 with the first 15 points being 5 field goals. Nobody could move the ball on either side offensively. But in the National Football League now, it seems that it is an offensive game. Again, just go down the list. Now, San Francisco has a good defense. New Orleans is human on the road. They're, I don't even know what the word is at home. Unbeatable, I guess. They're not human at home. They're unbelievable. They're like a machine. But send them out on the road, send them cross country to San Francisco. That's an interesting game. But if New Orleans plays Green Bay and the weather isn't too bad, you know, that's the other thing. You really, when you look at the history of football now, you really have to start to distinguish dome quarterbacks from non-dome quarterbacks. Take nothing away from Breeze. But, you know, you had Tom Brady break Dan Marino's record this year. You had Stafford go over 5,000 yards. Brady's not a dome quarterback. You had Eli Manning throw for 4,933 yards. Not a dome quarterback. Now, the weather did not get bad. That's the other interesting thing. Even when you talk about non-dome quarterbacks, usually in December in New England, in New York, it's cold, it's windy, it's hard to throw, it's snowy, it's wet, but not this year. This year was a freak year like that. So, yeah, I think Dana's right about Tim Tebow as well. Number three, finally, I must comment on my Cleveland Cavaliers and say I am impressed with the play of Kyrie Irving and to a lesser extent Tristan Thompson. The Cavs are definitely on the right path to rebuilding a contending team. They have a lot of fine pieces to the puzzle, but certainly need one more star or upper-tier player in their starting five. Catching up on your shows via archives and iTunes. Thanks for the email, Dana. I agree. I've watched Kyrie Irving play a few times. He was obviously very good at Duke. Left early. He's going to be a big-time player in the NBA. I think the Cavaliers, though, are a couple of players away. I was hoping they'd keep J.J. Hickson because I watched Hickson play a lot last year. I watched the Cavaliers. My son goes to college in Ohio. I watched the Cavaliers a bunch last year. And I agree, they do have some good young talent, but I still think they're two players away. You usually need three. I think Irving's going to be fine. I don't think Dan Gilbert is right when he says the Cavaliers are going to win a title before the Miami Heat. I think the Miami Heat are going to win this year. Thankfully, I picked Dallas to beat Miami in the finals last year, but it was more like a lifetime achievement award for Dallas. Plus, they had Tyson Chandler in the middle. Plus, they had J.J. Barea. Both of them are gone. So Dallas is back to being what Dallas always was before. A pretty good offensive team with a superstar and a lot of good players around him, but the notion that they're going to win without Chandler and Barea is ridiculous to me. But I think the Cavaliers are better, and I think they'll improve, but I don't think it's going to be this year or next year. Again, I think they need another high draft pick, and they do need a star, as Dana says. Thanks for the email, Dana. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at Sports Talk Network. .com.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard to find parts. Visit us today at supplylineelectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Follow SportsTalkNetwork.com on Twitter at SportsTalkNET.
Oh my God.
Shut the front door.
And now like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/SportsTalkNetwork. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We have another email from Christopher Delavallati. I hope I pronounced that right, from Charlotte, North Carolina. Steve, is there anything you see in NCAA basketball that is a must-follow besides Indiana? I am really impressed with their level of play right now. Well, I think there are a few other things, but focusing on Indiana, Tom Crean, an excellent coach, has certainly turned the program around after the debacle that they had there a few years ago. But he's got a nice squad. They're playing well. They're 15-1. They beat Kentucky when they were number one. They beat Ohio State when they were number two. So they're certainly a team to be reckoned with. There's Cody Zeller, 14 points, 6.5 rebounds a game. Christian Watford, 13 points, 6 rebounds a game. I mean, they have a very good squad. I think a top 10 team. I think a team that can make a real run in the tournament. Again, Crean, after his own struggles when he got there, I mean, it just took him a while to rebuild that program. Now has Indiana going the right way. I think there are a few other teams, though. I like Ohio State to win it all. Now, Sullinger's been in and out of the lineup. The best big man in the country, I think. So I like to watch Ohio State when they're on TV. Kentucky always loaded for bear. I mean, they're an unbelievable team. Calipari looking for that national championship. They're always something to watch. But I do agree that Indiana is a top team. They had to knock off 1-2 to get the recognition they deserve, but they are 15-1. Again, they are a top 10 team, maybe a top 5 team, but they certainly do deserve a lot of recognition. Yes, there are a lot of other stories in college basketball, but Indiana right now, I would say, is the number one surprise, not because they're good, but because they're so good. I want to switch to the NFL now. A few things. Of course, this terrible story out of Green Bay where the son of Joe Philbin, the offensive coordinator of the Packers, his 21-year-old son, Michael Philbin, was found dead yesterday in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Apparently, the early reports are that he was walking on ice over water and he fell through the ice and he fell to his death. He was pulled out of the river yesterday. And so Joe Philbin will be taking an indefinite leave from the Packers. I mean, just a horrible, horrible story. But, you know, you got to go deal with the death of a child. You know, everyone says that's the toughest thing in the world to deal with. I can't even imagine if one of my kids passed away. But a terrible thing happening to Joe Philbin and his family and his son, Michael. And Green Bay, of course, has to go on without him. They have a game against the Giants this coming weekend. But you'll have to give a lot of thought to at least this guy and what he's going through. Just a terrible thing. A couple of other things. This whole Josh McDaniels now to the Patriots. And you know the story. McDaniels was the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator for the Patriots. before he went to coach Denver, got run out of Denver, started great, I think 6-0, and then his team fell off a cliff. This year he was the offensive coordinator at St. Louis, but now he's coming back to the Patriots next year as their offensive coordinator, but he reported to work yesterday, Monday, to the Patriots. McDaniels, with a good knowledge of the Denver personnel, he was the coach there when they drafted Tim Tebow and Demaryius Thomas. They were both first-round picks 2 years ago for Denver. So I think McDaniels is going to help them. And I heard Tom Brady talking on the radio up in Boston today, talking about you know, how he has a good relationship with Josh. They're good friends. He was my quarterback's coach. I'm really glad he's back. And he will be the offensive coordinator, going forward, since Bill O'Brien is, of course, going to Penn State. He took that coaching job the other day, but is staying with the Patriots through this playoff run. So Denver's trying to poo-poo it, no big deal. So what if he goes back there? But I think it is a big deal. I think he's going to have a way to contribute something that's going to help the Patriots against the Broncos, and the Broncos have their hands full, although the Broncos are tougher offensively to play. And the New England defense is not that good. Patrick Chung is back. He's healthy. The New England defense is going to be a little better than they've shown, I think. A bye week will get them healthier. Good news for Denver. Well, not totally, but Eric Decker, they thought for sure was going to miss. Their top receiver, Denver thought for sure he's going to miss the Patriots game. But yesterday they announced he had a knee sprain. He's day-to-day. He's going to try to practice. There is a chance he will be able to play in Sunday's game, and they're going to need all hands on deck to give the Patriots a battle. Another interesting NFL note, Marty Schottenheimer, Brian Schottenheimer's father, Brian, the offensive coordinator of the Jets, Marty, the longtime successful during the regular season NFL coach who last coached in the league in 2007, he's interviewing for the Tampa Bay Bucks job. Interesting, because they do have a good group of young talent there. They decided to fire Raheem Morris. Can Schottenheimer come in there as a veteran coach who has been out of the league or hasn't coached at least in 4 years and mold them into a playoff team? Obviously, that's what, if Tampa hires him, that's what they're hoping for. But Schottenheimer was a guy who always had great success in the regular season and never really had much success, frankly, in the postseason. But he doesn't have the job yet, but he is interviewing for it down in Tampa Bay. And Jeff Fisher, looks like he's going to go to St. Louis. Apparently he has his choice between St. Louis and Miami, and everybody thought that Ross, the owner down in Miami, could just write whatever check that Fisher wanted, but maybe Fisher will get more authority, power, whatever, player personnel decisions in St. Louis than he would in Miami. So it's not official yet, but it looks like Fisher is going to be the next coach of the St. Louis Rams. Let's switch to the NBA now. Dwight Howard still wants to be traded to Dallas or the Lakers or the Nets. His agent is allowed to go try and work a deal. Of course, if he does, Orlando will have to approve it. But the reports in the New York papers now is that the Knicks would be interested in trading Amari Stoudemire and some other players or picks for Dwight Howard. I think Howard wants to go to the Nets to play with Darren Williams. This is like the saving of the franchise for the Nets, because if they don't get Howard, I can't see any way Williams is going to stay. If they do get Howard, then it'll be Howard, Darren Williams, and fill in the blanks, and you'd have a team that I think could contend for the championship in a year or two, depending on the other pieces to the puzzle. But you'll have the best big man and arguably the best point guard, certainly one of the three best point guards in the NBA. If the Nets do not get Howard, their franchise is just going to be what they've been. They're 2-8 this year. They're not going anywhere. They lost Brook Lopez to a foot injury. But interestingly, the Knicks trying to get in the sweepstakes. It would be amazing from a Knicks fan's perspective. Stoudemire, to me, the weak link because of his knee. They already announced before the season that he was going to have to miss games during this, you know, shorter, tighter schedule in the NBA this year. That wasn't good news. But Howard still made it known that he does want to be traded. Meanwhile, the Knicks yesterday beat Charlotte Knicks 91, Charlotte 87, at the Garden, Stoudemire leading scorer with 25, Tyson Chandler 13 rebounds. The Knicks are going to be okay. Are they a championship contender? Well, they have their big three, Stoudemire, Anthony, Tyson Chandler. Is that good enough? I don't think so, but they're certainly finally, after a decade of being terrible, now a competitive team and a higher echelon team, maybe, I don't know, four or five in the East. But we'll see what happens with those trade rumors. The Bulls, a very tough defensive team. Tom Thibodeau, the former Knick assistant, former Celtic assistant, now the head coach, has the Bulls playing great defense. The question is, of course, is someone going to step up to really help Rose? Will it be Carlos Boozer? Maybe. Yesterday, the Bulls hammered the Pistons 92-68. Boozer 9 for 13 from the field, 23 points, 8 rebounds. Derrick Rose, defending reigning MVP, 22 points, 8 assists. Bulls 92, Pistons 68. Atlanta in the Meadowlands against the, I'm sorry, down in Newark against the hapless Nets. Atlanta 106, the Nets 101. You know, the Nets have been unable to score. They break the 100 mark, but they lose nevertheless. Josh Smith, 26 points for the Hawks. Al Horford, 9 rebounds. You know, I don't think the Nets are going anywhere again. Williams has 14 assists yesterday. They score 100 points. They lose to the Hawks. Hawks very talented, but I've seen enough of them already, and I like the Hawks every year. Joe Johnson, I mean, they're a very good team. They just can't seem to get over the hump, but they are 7-3 this year. Hawks 106, Nets 101. Yesterday, also a few other games. The 76ers beat the Pacers. These are two good teams, in my opinion, in the East, two playoff teams. In Philly, 76ers now 6-2. Indiana Pacers now 6-3. Iguodala, the jumping jack, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, a complete player. Elton Brand, who is flattened out as a 76er, only 6 points and 5 assists. But they have a good bench. Young comes off the bench to score 12. Williams with 13. Vucevic with 11. Philadelphia is a pretty good team. Andre Iguodala is their star, though. For the Pacers, Hibbert, the big man, 19 points, 8 rebounds. West, 15 points, 11 rebounds. Again, they have a good team as well. They're well coached. Hansborough off the bench, 10 points, 5 rebounds. But yesterday, Philly, 96. The Pacers 86, Philadelphia moves again to 6-2. In that Bulls game, I just want to go back there for a minute. The Bulls have a very deep team. Again, the question is someone going to step up to join Rose? Is it Boozer? Is it Luol Deng? Is it Joakim Noah? Last year they were kind of exposed in the playoffs as having no other scorer but Rose. Can Boozer be the guy? Can Deng be the guy? Deng yesterday only 4 points. Noah 4 points, 8 rebounds. I just don't know. Kyle Korver, deadly off the bench, 8 points, 2 for 5 from 3-point land. He can help them offensively. I think the Bulls are a factor in the East. Again, I don't think anyone's going to be able to beat the Miami Heat this year after they've had a full year and their extra parts seem to be, I think, a little better and certainly a little healthier than last year. Another game, the Hornets beat the Nuggets 94-81. Landry gets 21. Lawson leads the Nuggets with 15. The Nuggets 6-4. I like their squad. The Hornets 3-6. And finally, one other game. The Raptors beat the Timberwolves 97-87. Bargnani, 31 points for the Raptors. J.J. Barea, again, to me, lost in Minnesota. I don't know if that was the best offer he got. I have no idea why the Mavericks didn't re-sign him. I think that's a huge loss. Again, we talked about it during the NBA playoffs. They almost benched him. Instead, they started him, and that, I think, along with Tyson Chandler's defense, as we spoke about at the time, was the key to getting the Mavericks over the hump. The Mavericks, to me, this year are back to being what the Mavericks always were, and that is, frankly, a very good team that can't win a championship because of their lack of defense, and now they've lost Tyson Chandler. Certainly, that's my opinion, and you know, I think they're done almost before they start because of their poor off season. Just looking briefly, season only 10 games or so old, but Miami 8-1, Chicago 8-2, Philadelphia 6-2, Atlanta 7-3, Indiana and Orlando 6-3, the Knicks 5-4. Those are your seven teams over 500. Then you go to Boston and Cleveland at 500. Those are your top nine teams in terms of record in the East. In the West, Oklahoma 8-2, Portland a very good sleeper team this year 6-2, San Antonio 6-3, the Clippers only with 6 games 4-2, Utah 5-3, Lakers 6-4, and Denver 6-4, and then the eighth team is Phoenix 4-4, the Mavericks, believe it or not, 4-5 under 500. But again, no matter what the Mavericks do, I think they're going to have some real issues this season, even if they're at a point where people will talk about them as being a championship contender. I'm just not buying it, frankly. A couple of games in the NHL yesterday. Washington goes out to Los Angeles to play the Kings. Kings 5, Capitals 2. Anze Kopitar scored his 12th for the Kings. Justin Williams had his 7th. Marcus Johansson scores his 9th of the year for the Capitals. Ovechkin held, I'm sorry, his 8th and 9th. Marcus Johansson, both goals for the Capitals. No points for Ovechkin. Kings 5, Washington Capitals 2. And one other game. Vancouver goes down to Florida to play the Panthers. Florida beats Vancouver 2-1. Dmitry Kulikov scores his 4th goal of the year for Florida. Marcel Gott scores the winning goal in the second period, the second and winning goal. Dale Weiss scores the only goal for Vancouver. Florida 2, Vancouver 1. And in the NHL, you know, we haven't talked about standings in the last couple of weeks, but the Rangers have come to the forefront. They have the most points in the NHL with 56. Vancouver leading the West, they have 55. But the Rangers, you know, they're already talking about Henrik Lundqvist as a Vezina Trophy winner way too early in the season. Yes, they've played 39 games, so the season is about half over. But the trick for the Rangers, we've talked about this last year and we'll talk about it all this year, is to keep Henrik Lundqvist rested and healthy. And in the past, they just have not been able to do it because they either haven't had a good enough backup goalie or they always had to play Lundqvist down the stretch to battle for the eighth playoff spot, which sometimes they made and sometimes they didn't. But the Rangers this year, 26-9 and 4 overtime losses, 56 points. The other division leaders, the Bruins and Florida, those are your three leaders. Then going down, Philadelphia with 52 points, Ottawa 50, New Jersey 48, Toronto 47, Pittsburgh 46, no Sidney Crosby still. And again, to me, the Penguins are a playoff team and a nice team without Sidney Crosby. With Sidney Crosby, they're, of course, a Stanley Cup contender. Right now, they're sitting in eighth, 1 point ahead of Winnipeg in ninth, 2 points ahead of Washington in 10th, and 5 points ahead of Buffalo in 11th. This is at virtually the midway point in the NHL season. You know, you have to compare them because the NBA started so late. The NBA is only 10 games in. Hockey is halfway through their regular season. In the West, Vancouver, as we said, 26-14 and 3 overtime losses, 55 points. Detroit and San Jose lead their respective divisions. Then St. Louis is 4th and Chicago 5th, both with 53 points. Los Angeles 6th with 49. Nashville and Minnesota in 7th and 8th respectively, both have 48 points. This is a very tight race. The Dallas Stars, who were in first place earlier, are now out of the playoff picture today, but 47 points, 1 point out of 7th, actually, not just 8th. Colorado as well with 47 points, 1 point out. Phoenix with 45 points. Calgary with 43 points. That takes you down to 12 teams kind of in the mix now. Edmonton, Anaheim, and Columbus not in the mix now, but obviously, again, with the season only halfway over, they still have an opportunity to crawl back into it. But I think an amazing story, the New York Rangers, they had that horrible start. They lost those 2 games in Sweden They got hammered by the Islanders in their third game of the year back in New York. And then they went on for what should have been a brutal West Coast swing, but they turned it around right there, and now they lead the NHL in points with 56. A few things on TV tonight. No big marquee event, but NBA TV has a doubleheader. The Bulls at the Timberwolves, 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, that's Kevin Love for the Timberwolves, Derrick Rose for the Bulls. The Suns at the Lakers at 10:30. Kobe and the Lakers turning it around. The Suns, I don't know, I think their time has passed. Steve Nash still around, though. That's a doubleheader on NBA TV starting at 8 Eastern. Hockey. The national game on the NBC Sports Network, which used to be Versus, which NBC is now, that's a 24-hour sports station. The Sharks at the Wild at 7:30 Eastern. And if you get MSG, and again, I'm told that goes pretty much nationally now, on MSG, the Coyotes at the Rangers at 7 Eastern. On MSG Plus, the Red Wings at the Islanders at 7 Eastern. And the Devils at the Calgary Flames at 9:30. That's Eastern time. MSG Plus 2. So there are three hockey games on the MSG Network and the Sharks at Wild on NBC Sports Network. A few college basketball games. The one I'll certainly watch a little of is Ohio State at Illinois at 9 o'clock. That's on 9 Eastern ESPN. But a bunch of other games as well. Georgia at Florida, 7 p.m. Eastern ESPN. Florida State at Votech, 7 p.m. Eastern ESPNU. Louisville at Providence, 7 p.m. Eastern ESPN2. Ohio State at Illinois, as I said, 9 o'clock on ESPN, 9 o'clock Eastern. And Vanderbilt at South Carolina, 9 o'clock on ESPNU. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.